Leviticus chapter 10. This is normally the chapter where most people wake up when they're reading in Leviticus, as we did back on Sunday, because this is where the narrative really starts back off with the reading, when you get back into the story time, if you will. Now, what this deals with is the sin of Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu. Let's read and see what happens here. If you have your place there, please say amen. Amen. All right. If you normally, and we don't read out loud, we don't stand, so just keep your seat and just read along there with me. Just follow along. In verse 1, it says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Some strange things in the Bible. That's what I want to preach on tonight, God being our helper, in the time that we have. So let's pray. Father, I ask, Lord, tonight that you'll hide me behind the cross, that you'll put your words in my mouth, you'd have me to speak. And Lord, Father, I just ask tonight that you'll have your will in your way. Lord, that you'll speak to someone's heart tonight. Lord, as only you can. Because, Lord, I know in and of myself I can't, but you can. So, Lord, have your will in your way now in these services tonight. Lord, just minister to our hearts as only you can. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Some strange things in the Bible. There's a lot of strange things mentioned inside the Bible. So the Lord being our helper, as we said again, tonight we want to bring you some interesting things found scattered throughout the Word of God and what they may mean for you and I tonight. First of all, in our text here seen in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 2, we read about a strange fire. Now, as far as the interpretation of this passage goes, I'll give it to you as quickly as I can. Strange fire is a different, it's a foreign fire. It's something that was not given by God. And if you want to find the fire that was supposed to be used, it's in, I just had it down here. Where did you go? There it is. Numbers chapter 16, verse 46. This is the fire that was supposed to be used by Nadab and Abihu and any of the priests connected to the tabernacle and later into the temple service. It says, "And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun." Now that right there, it says, "And put fire therein from off the altar." That altar will be the altar of burnt offering. So the fire that's going to be put inside of the tabernacle, where you'll have the altar of incense before the veil of the Holy of Holies, that's where that fire is supposed to go. So evidently, Nadab and Abihu did not take any fire from the altar of burnt offering. They took strange fire. They took an unfamiliar fire. They took an uncommanded fire. And so then you might say that might be a fire that they kindled. It might be a fire that they got off of a campfire. But it was a strange fire. It was a fire that was taken that was not to be taken. Now, let's apply this. So strange then means a false something or a foreign something. In other words, it's not recognized, all right? And then the fire here, if we want to apply this, we can put it as human energy, human devices, human judgment, human decision. I even liken that to a zeal. So this strange fire, let's apply this now to our lives. Let's be careful not to offer to God a strange fire, a strange zeal, a foreign zeal. You say, "What are you talking about? I still don't understand what you say, what you mean." Let's put it in a different way. We make time for what we want. Like the other day, I got a Confederate stamp in, and I was so tickled, I hadn't had one of these ever. When I got out of high school, I had like $1,000 that people had given me to congratulate me on graduating. And so what did dummy me do? Dummy me went on a Confederate stamp collecting spending spree, sadly, and I spent the bulk of that gathering these old stamps, and I was very happy. And I was happy that I had those years later because I turned that back into money because Heather and I needed money. That's like the story of our life. We always need money. So if I needed some money, I would sell something that I really, really enjoyed. But it's just like a lot of things, God. You can't take it with you. There's no U-Haul being pulled behind of a hearse. So you sell it. You have to leave it or bequeath it or something else. But I was excited. I had a passion about that. And it's like when I collected Confederate money, I had a passion and a zeal there. And anything that I get interested in, just like you, like Lisa likes to crochet, she has a zeal about that, you know. And Brian likes to work out. He has a zeal about that. Daddy likes to play with trash, I mean, with scrap metal, you know. He likes to go out and work in the garden. He likes to work inside the flower bed. Looking at him and seeing the man that he is, you know, you might not think he has a green thumb, but he's got two of them, and I think all of his hands are green, you know. So, yeah. You know, we all enjoy different things, like Rahab. She likes a Peppa Pig, you know. She has a zeal about Peppa Pig and a bunch of other things as well. So we all are interested in things that we like, and we have a zeal about these things. We could be dog-slapped, worn out, tired, but then when our favorite program comes on or we get down and there's, you know, Blazing Saddles, or there's Gettysburg, or there's our favorite movie come on, you know. Oh, wow, yeah, boy. And then we were dog-tired, ready for bed, and all of a sudden, we sat up for 2 extra hours. You know, so we got this zeal about all kinds of different things. But what about our zeal for God? There's too many people, guys, they got a strange fire inside of their life. That is a zeal for anything and everything and anyone but God. It's like a lot of folks tonight. Oh, it's too cold, it's too rainy, it's too wet, it's too messy, blah, blah, blah. But then somebody says, hey, you want to go out and eat? Yeah, I'm gone. But here tonight, we gather ourselves together inside the house of God to meet with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We got empty pew after empty pew after empty pew. I think, folks, there's a strange fire out there. And this is connected also back to Jude 1:11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. I'm interested in right there the way of Cain. The way of Cain is trying to worship God in your own way. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, well, I can worship God out inside of the woods. I can worship God out on my fishing boat on the lake. Okay, so you're on the fishing boat at the lake. I'm normally not thinking about God. I'm thinking about how many fish am I going to catch or not catch that day. And by the way, whenever you worship, you might want to make sure that you meet the biblical requirement. You got to be in the Spirit. You got to have the truth. And you got to have 2 or 3 or more. So if I'm by myself in the woods, biblically, I can't really worship God. How 2 or 3 are not gathered together inside of His name. Now, in and of myself, I can appreciate God. I know myself, I can personally raise worship to Him and thank Him and look at the beauty of His creation. But He never anywhere in the Bible specifies that His people are to not gather together. We are a gathering people. Both in the Old Testament, they were to gather together at the tabernacle. And they were to then to gather together at the temple. And then now we're supposed to gather together at the church, as a church, as the body of Christ. But so many people nowadays, they think it's okay to be a Christian and not go to church. That ain't the Bible way. I don't care if you don't like anybody at that church. If that's a Bible-believing, preaching, teaching church, and that's the only church for 500 miles around, guess what? Your butt better be parked inside one of them pews. Or else you're guilty of offering God strange fire. I believe. How about something else? We got strange gods all around. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 16 and 17, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abomination that provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new God that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Folks, let me tell you something right now. Anything or anyone, wherever or whatever it might be, that is before God in your affection, and anything of that nature, that is a god, that is an idol. And folks, we have been guilty of, in many ways and times in our life over the year, we have been guilty of whoredom against God. We have been guilty of idolatry. We have been guilty of putting either ourselves, we have been guilty of putting others, and we have been guilty of putting hobbies or interests before the Lord God Almighty. Look at your bank account. Look at what you spend money on. I don't know who the preacher was, but I happen to agree with him because I've seen it in my own life. He says, show me a man's bank account and I'll show you where his heart is. Absolutely. Now, show us what we talk about the most, and we'll show us where our heart is. We need to make sure that our affection and that our love is not on the things of this world. Because the things of this world, guys, will drive us away from God. Very clearly. That's what the Bible teaches us. He said, love not the things of the world. There's a lot of strange gods out there, beloved. We got people nowadays that can quote more information about anything and everything coming and going, and yet these people, they go to church Sunday in and Wednesday out, but yet still, we don't know anything hardly about the Bible. We can sing every popular song in Christianity there is. We can turn on the radio and turn on some popular contemporary Christian music station, and we can sing every song for 15 songs, Now the Kingdom Come, but then we open the blessed book, the Holy Bible, and then we can't even say how many of the Ten Commandments we know, don't even know who the 12 disciples were, can't even say hardly anything about the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're not getting it here at the church, and we're not getting it there at the house. Because too many preachers are running and doing anything and everything but the Word of God. We're too wrapped up in so many programs and so many this and so many that, trying to get people interested in church, trying to build everything coming and going, new stadium and new this and new that. But you know what? We need to get back to the book. Because we need to make sure that God's Word is first and prominent inside of our hearts and lives so that we can make sure that God is number one in our lives and not some strange God come in and sat in the place where God deserves to sit inside of our hearts and affections and our lives.
Amen.
Just about, from my studies, the strangest thing that is ever spoken of about in the entire Bible is point number three. When you look, when you do a word search on strange, one of two things is going to pop up the majority of the time. Strange women or strange wives. Now what does that mean? Strange. Foreign. Foreign, foreign, foreign. That's what it means. When you see strange wives or strange women, it meaning foreign women or foreign wives. See, the Jews were supposed to marry who? Their own. They're supposed to marry in their tribe. But far too many times, they wanted to marry outside of their tribe. Like Solomon, bless his heart. First Kings. Chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon, that just started off wrong right there. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites, of the nation concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, listen, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. That means don't have sex with them. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. How in God's name are you going to be hitched with your wagon to 1,000 women? I know the Bible says he was the wisest man that ever lived, but that wisdom had to have lasted for about a month or two. I don't know. At least until he got married to Pharaoh's daughter. Then it went out the window, or at least when he got married the second time. Now, why did he do all that? Part of the reason why is because he wanted to make an affinity with other countries, other kingdoms, other nations. You see this really inside of the years leading up to World War I. Almost every royal family throughout Europe, Russia and everywhere else, Britain and Ireland and all of that, they were intermarried with each other. And the idea was that you ain't going to go fight against family. If the Habsburg, If you got the family of the royal family of Austria, and then you got them intermarried with the royal family of Poland, they're not going to surely go fight against the Polak and the Austrian. Surely not. But the whole thing too got thrown out the window. Who cares? Because now you got these treaties and these alliances, and then everybody's fighting everybody, and who cares about the family bloodlines or whatever else? It went out the window. But that's what the idea was. And the idea was, well, we'll have peace with all these countries if the king can marry one of their princesses. You find that even back inside of Napoleon's era. Don't get me started on that. But anyway. Strange women, foreign women. Guys, let me tell you something. You can plug in there, if you want to make it apply to the ladies, strange men. They saw a lot of strange men down there on Sunday. Oh, my goodness, I saw the pictures. One of them, oh, my goodness, it looked like a clown. A white face, a beard, better than mine, and got a dress on.
You didn't see the worst of it.
No, that's right. Thank God. See, guys, there's a lot of strange women out there, and there's a lot of strange men out there. They are foreign. You know why? Because they don't share our faith. One of the worst things you can ever hope to do inside of your life is get hitched, get married to somebody that ain't a Christian. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. That don't mean a white man shouldn't marry a black woman. I ain't talking about that. That's covered elsewhere. Okay? I know some people don't agree with me on that, but I believe that's what the Bible teaches. God made us this way, and He made them that way. And if He wanted us to marry with some of them other folks, then He would allow that to happen. Last time I checked, Paul said, does not nature teach you that it is a shame for a man to have a long hair? Well, I always took that to mean this. What do we always tell our youngins about when we talk about sex? We talk about the birds and the bees. This ain't in my notes, but I'll give it to you, no extra charge. That's how the folks at the SCV count. You look at a red bird. What's a red bird mate with? A red bird. You look at a blue bird. What's a blue bird mate with? A blue bird. What's a black bird mate with? A black bird. Stupid crow is going to mate with a crow. A magpie is going to be with a magpie. A robin will be with a robin. They always do that. There is no mongrel mixed bird out there. They're always with their kind. All right, let's take it a step further, shall we? Honeybees. There are races of honeybees. You've got Italian. You've got Buckfast. You've got the German bee. You've got Carnolian. You've got what else? I can't remember. All right, so here's what happened. We're going to have sex ed honeybee style, okay? The queen bee. Now, I mean that literally as the queen bee of the hive. I ain't talking slang language. I'm not up here cussing now. I don't put words in my mouth that ain't there. The queen bee of the hive is going to leave the hive once in her entire life to mate. When she leaves, she goes to mate. All right, now. Inside of the hive, there are drones. I ain't talking about machines and robots. It ain't rides of the drones. We're not talking about the Clone Wars now, okay? We ain't talking about that. These drones are males. The only thing they do, evidently, is keep up morale. They are outnumbered like 1,000 to 1 by the women. All the little honeybees you see out there, they're all women. Ladies, y'all should all be beekeepers. I mean, the feminists, they should love honeybees. I don't see. Anyway, moving on. So what happens is, when the fall of the year comes and the wintertime comes, the women kick half these drones out because all they do is sit around, they get fed, they go out and poop and do their business, and that's about it. But then they're waiting to have sex. That's it. They have it once in their life. I'll get to there here in a minute. So when the queen bee leaves to go mate, there's a mating area. So let's say she's an Italian, because that's the basic honeybee out there. She's an Italian queen honeybee. She goes out there, and there's this place. I don't know where it is. We don't know. We've never seen it. But we've heard about it. We've read about it. We've studied about it. And you have all these male drones and just kind of hovering. They're waiting. Now, this next part ain't God's plan. But just follow along. These different races of these honeybees are just males, the drone. They're waiting. So this queen bee comes up there, and then here comes the Italian drone. He mates, and then right when after, you know, that thing happened, he pops off, and he's dead. Now, he's got a smile on his face, no doubt, but he's dead. So you have sex. That's it. Your life is over, according to the honeybee world. Well, now you got a German gray bee. He goes in. He falls off dead. Now you've got a buckfast. He comes in. You've got these different races, ding, 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 of honeybees, male honeybees, mating with the queen. All right? So now let's say like five different races have mated with the queen Italian honeybee. All right? Now she goes back, and the other guys say, oh, no, I missed my chance. Well, they live another day. All right? So they go back to their whatever hive they're at. All right? Now, so now she goes in, and now the queen bee never leaves the hive ever, 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 ever again. The only thing she will do now for the rest of her life is lay eggs. That's all she does. She can't even go to the bathroom. She's got attendants that will take her poop away. She has attendants that will give her water. She has attendants that will feed her. She has attendants that will bathe her. And all the thing that poor girl does the rest of her life is lay eggs. Whew. Mercy. All right, so the beekeeper, a few weeks later, he will open up the hive to check and see how the queen bee's doing, to see the egg pattern, how she's laying her eggs and everything. And so now, sudden, he looks and he sees all these baby bees hatching, and he sees Italians. A couple of weeks later, he goes back in. Now he sees buckfast. He goes back a few weeks later, and he sees carnelians. Why? How is that happening? I thought the queen bee had all these matings and, you know, everything got mixed. No. She has a little sac called the spermatheca. And all of the male honey drone bee's sperm is evidently layered. In other words, it's segregated. Now, the only way this could happen is how? God does this. I mean, if you think, use common sense. If you take liquids and pour them together, it's going to be mixed together, ain't it? They're evidently layered by race. I think it's very interesting that we say the birds and the bees, we talk about that with our youngins. Why not cats and dogs? There's a lot of mongrel cats and dogs out there. And then another thing. How many of you have ever heard of killer bees? You heard of killer bees? They're mad. They're angry. They don't make the best honey in the world. Well, guess what happened? They're mongrelized. They're mixed. And who made them? Man made them. And guess what they're called? Africanized honeybees. They were supposed to produce more honey, but they don't. They got mad, and they get mad, and they don't do like the other honeybees. That's why they're called killer bees. Interesting. Man-made. Man decided he could improve on what God laid down, and he screwed things up. You see? What God designed, man screws it up. That's what happened. So when you look at God's plan at the very optimal level is for you to marry a Christian. No matter how damaged, no matter how fragile the Christian may appear, you marry a believer. And when you don't marry a believer, guess what happens? You screw your life up. Big time. And they did that because they married strange women. Beware, 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 men, of the strange woman. Ladies, beware, beware, beware of the strange men. And even more so, because nowadays, when Rahab goes to date, you know, when she's 40 years old, she better probably say, can I see your birth certificate? That's how weird the world's getting nowadays. Lisa may very well say, okay, suitor, let me see your birth certificate. Were you really born that way?
He wouldn't be interested in me if he wasn't.
If they won't show the birth certificate, I'd say, sayonara, bye-bye, you know. God, it is really weird out there. It is strange out there today. We've got to be careful. All right, here's another thing. Strange languages. Psalm 114:1. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language. That's a foreign language. All right, well, let's think about it this way. All right, listen. Titus 2:8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. You know what's a strange language to me, God? That when a believer in Christ cusses like a sailor, when they use speech that is used by the world, that's a strange language to me. Because we need to be different from them. We need to be foreign to the world. But what's sad is when in amongst a group of Christians, you begin to hear a foreign language, that is, a language that the world speaks that should be foreign to us. That should never be a part of our vocabulary. Because we're supposed to be different than them. They, the world, the lost people, they're supposed to be foreign to us. Not, there's no distinction, there's no way of telling them apart. Hang on, I ain't done yet, because another way you can tell us apart from the world is next part, number 5, strange clothes, Zephaniah 1:8. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Folks, it is strange apparel when women do not dress modestly. It is strange apparel when men do not dress befitting of a man. There is a reason many times, beloved, when I go out, I try to dress a decent part. I try my best. Now, there's been a few little times here and there when I don't take a shower. But normally, 99% of the time, when I leave my house to go out and run errands, whatever, I take a shower. I put some decent clothes on. I ain't going to wear my work clothes out that's got holes all in it. You can see like little hairs that look like little spiders trying to crawl out or whatever. I ain't going to wear a cut-down shirt like that, so you'll see my forest down here, one back there, and my forest in the back of my back, you know. I don't need to be displayed. Now you're suddenly having wicked, evil thoughts, you know. Oh, my God! Oh.
Don't be a stupid.
That's right. Folks, I'm telling you, we've got to dress differently from them. I mean, why was it in school we dressed a certain way to get in with the popular crowd, the in crowd? I didn't care what I looked like to them. I could care less about the latest fashion. I was me. I wore my blue jeans, my boots, and my shirt. Now, and half the time I wore Christian shirts because I wanted to bear a message. When I was younger, I really didn't care. I wore sweatpants and a t-shirt and tennis shoes. That's about it. They were comfortable. I liked it. But you see, nowadays, it's strange when a Christian will wear clothing that is provocative from the world's standpoint. When a woman will dress provocatively in the church, and she knows it. Folks, that's strange clothing. You should be able, when you spot someone, really, just like the Jews did back in the Old Testament, you should be able to say that person is different from the world. When I see a woman that's dressed in a skirt that goes down to her ankle, I know that's a conservative woman. I know she ain't like the rest of the world. Oh, there's a type of clothing that should be strange to us. And vice versa, strange to the world. There's a sixth thing that's strange in the Bible, strange doctrine. Hebrews 13:9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrine. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat. That means stop feeding your faith so much and feed your faith with the Word of God, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. He's talking to the Jews right there, you know. He's saying, look, you all are so bent out of shape over bacon and liver mush and shellfish and oysters. Just give them all to me, okay? I can eat them. But, he said, but you ain't worried about doctrine, about grace. You're more concerned about whether or not you eat bacon or not. He said, it don't matter about the meat. It matters about the doctrine, about the Word of God. Folks, there's some strange doctrines out there in different churches, in different faiths, in different religions. Anybody out there that's talking about Jesus in a way that the Bible don't talk about him, that's a strange doctrine. How about strange flesh? Jude 1:7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. What strange flesh? Foreign flesh. All right, I'll tell you what a foreign flesh is. A man should never lie down with a man to have sexual relations. That's going after strange flesh. A woman should never lay down to have sexual relations with another woman, because that's going after strange flesh. No man or woman should ever lay down to have sexual relations with an animal. I don't care how much you love Spot or Fido or Twinklefoot or whatever. It don't matter how much you love them. They do not belong with you in a I love you wedding type of relationship. That is an abomination. That is confusion. That's strange flesh. Folks, I'm telling you, the world is so wicked and so messed up nowadays. People's heads ain't screwed on right. It's causing all kind of utter chaos and confusion. You want to know? Let me get over here. You want to know why I think you've got so many of these drag queens out there? You want to know why I think there's so many people wanting sex changes going on nowadays? All right, if you got a man and he wants to become a woman, so then he, she, it can date a man? Well, you know what all that is? That's just sodomy right there. They don't care if they call themselves a woman or not. They're a man. I don't care what Bruce Jenner thinks he is. He goes after another man out there Caitlin? He's Caitlin? No, he's a man biologically in the eyes of God. And all he's doing is committing sodomy. That's all it is. Whether he's got a little lolly down there left or not, it's still going to be sodomy in the eyes of God. Because God made him a he, not a she. So I think the whole reason to dress like the woman and to do all this other stuff and drink estrogen and all that stuff, all that is to ease their whatever's left of a conscience that they might happen to have. Payday someday, folks. You better get right with God. That's all I got to say. Then there's some strange actions, folks. 1 Peter 4:4. Wherein they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Now here's a strange that you need to be. Strange action. You used to do this. You used to be that. But you ain't that anymore. Now you're saved. Now you go to church. Now you read your Bible. Now you pray. Now you're concerned about what Jesus thinks rather than what Yahoo Bumbo over there thinks. It don't matter what they think. It matters what Jesus thinks at the end of the day. So they, your former friends and your former drinking buddies and your former drug heads out there who you used to run with, you used to pile around with, they now look at you like you're some strange bird that fell out of the sky. And they wonder, why don't you come do the same things with us that you used to do anymore? And then they speak evil of you. They stab you in the back. They make fun of you behind your back. You know what? Let them. No matter what they say, no matter what they do, you have to answer for you, not them. So they want to call you a strange bird? Let them call you a strange bird. They want to call you some strange Yahoo? Then let them call you some strange Yahoo. The strange action? That's fine and dandy in my book, because it's fine and dandy in God's book. We need some strange actions, folks. Sometimes in your life, you can attest to that. That you used to do this, or you used to do that, or you used to go there, or you used to see this, but now you don't see or do any of that anymore. And now suddenly those people that you used to see, they don't see you anymore. And they think that's some strange action going on. I say all the more power to you. And then Hebrews 11:9, there's a number 9, a strange country. By faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, that is, tent, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. You know why he lived in a strange country, in a foreign country? Because he wasn't home yet. Let me tell you something, folks. I live in a strange country tonight. United States of America and North Carolina have become strange countries because of what we have allowed in our culture, our society, and even in our own backyard. Amen. We have allowed it in the churches, and in our homes, and in our families, and our own society. But it's strange for another reason. You know why? Because this world is not my home. My home down there, my home down over yonder, the home that ain't standing there no more, the other home down there, the other home over there, the home over yonder, and the home down there. All the little houses I've lived in my whole life has not been home to me. Because on July 1st, 1991, when I got born again, Jesus promised me inside of the Word of God that he led out of here to prepare a place for me. And that place, I believe, is up there already. That mansion is there. It is decked out. It is fully furnished. And I don't have to pay one red cent because one red drop of his blood paid it all for me. And that home is going to be my home. And one of these days, I'm going to go home and I'm going to be at home forever and ever because I'm going to be there with the Savior that loved me and gave himself for me. And I'm going to be home. And Brian, amen, we ain't going to be living in a room either. So he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, not rooms. You see, folks, we got a strange country down here. So this is a foreign land to me because my citizenship, my president, my king, and my master is Jesus Christ. And I'm going home one of these days. Because this world ain't my home. This country ain't my home. My country's in heaven. I'm just a passing through. I'm just a wayfaring stranger. Play it for us one day, David, if you don't mind, if you can learn it. I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger. Amen. I love that song. But folks, there's some strange things mentioned inside the Bible. So let's make sure some of these strange things ain't in our life. But then some of them other ones, some strange actions, some strange country, I make sure those are hammered down inside of our hearts and lives tonight. Well, folks, let's bow our heads and close our eyes.